The Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Oh, what are you doing? He threw him out of the ball game. You gotta be baiting me. What in the hell are you doing? What are you doing, Wagner?
One of the classic Hawk Harrelson rants of all time. That was 3 years back when Jose Quintana was thrown out of the game for throwing behind a Tampa Bay Rays hitter. Unfortunately for all of us, well, fortunately for some will tell you it's very fortunate, we will never get to hear a Hawk Harrelson, Jose Quintana rant ever again. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann, Todd Brommelkamp out for the day. We'll give you more on that a little bit later. It's his son's first birthday. Happy birthday, Tommy. And I can't believe it's been 1 year already. I know that family's gone through a lot, and it's just great to see the first birthday, and Tommy's happy, he's healthy, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But we have a great show planned for you today. The first hour, we're going to talk about this trade because there are a lot of angles we can go at this. Cubs fans, White Sox fans, NL Central fans, we want to hear from you. 319-366-1600, that's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line and the phone line. Kyle Mann sitting in for Todd Brommelkamp. Other than the Cubs-Sox trade, Will Raggetts of Inside Northwest, NU.com. He covers the Northwestern Wildcats. He's going to join us at 5:05 as part of Countdown to Kickoff, brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. We're actually going to double up on the Countdown to Kickoff as Mike Carman of the Lafayette Journal and Courier is going to talk about Jeff Brohm's new team in West Lafayette, the Purdue Boilermakers, and in between those two segments, Ed Creech of MLB Trade Rumors was supposed to join us on Tuesday. He's going to join us today at 5:35. And of course, it's Thursday, and that means that Woodja will be included on the show. That's going to be our final segment of the day, 6:35. We'll do a little bit of back and forth, Woodja, and I'll do it with the guy sitting to my right, Kyle Mann. And Kyle, I woke up this morning, and I knew I was going to have to plan this show. And I don't like to go behind the scenes because I don't think that a lot of people out there really care about how the sausage is made. They just want to know that it's made. Same thing goes for our program. But I was thinking to myself, okay, well, Ed's going to join us. Mike Carman's going to join us. Will Raggetts is going to join us. What are we going to lead the show off with today? And then at about 10 o'clock, the news came across my timeline that Jose Quintana was traded from the Chicago White Sox to the Chicago Cubs for top prospects Dylan Cease, Eloy Jimenez, who was in the Midwest League Home Run Derby and All-Star game last year, fantastic prospect, and two other minor league prospects. So four players in the deal for the Chicago White Sox, and the Cubs receive Jose Quintana, who is under contract for the next three seasons. And I just have to ask you, Kyle, because you are one of the biggest Cubs fans that I know. You've had about 5 or 6 hours to digest this. What do you think?
Well, more than anything, I've kind of boiled it down. It's a good trade. It's a good deal. It may not be the best one. It might not be the one that I thought up and dreamed about last night. But it's a good trade because when you look at it, the reality is more than anything right now, the Cubs need pitching help, and they are going to need pitching help moving down the road. And Jose Quintana is a good pitcher. The only thing is, and I'm not the first to point it out, they gave up their two best prospects in doing so. I would have liked to maybe get a Chris Archer for a package like that, but Quintana is very good. I've got some numbers that I'll rattle off for everybody a little bit later. He's a very good pitcher, and he's controlled through 2020 on a very, very cap-friendly deal. And so that's going to save money for them to spend on other pitchers in free agency. Overall, I think it's a good deal for the Cubs.
Matt in Fairfax, 47-14. The Cubs gave up a decent amount to acquire Quintana. Would have liked to see Archer, just like you.
Yep.
Kyle. Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, were asked about what the possibilities were going to be for this team at the trade deadline. And Theo Epstein said something and basically outlined exactly what they were going to do. And for people that are shocked by this move, you really shouldn't be, because Theo Epstein about a month ago said that last year, this team was in win now mode at the trade deadline. They felt comfortable going out and getting a player for as a rental. And last year, that meant giving up Gleyber Torres and another prospect for Aroldis Chapman for the rest of the season. This year, Theo Epstein said they were not comfortable doing the same thing. They did not want to go out and get a half a season rental, or less than half a season. We're past the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season at this point. Less than half a season of a player. They wanted to go out and get a player that was going to help them not only this year, but in years to come. And it appears that's what they've done. And we had David Kaplan on, who covers the Cubs, about a month ago. And Todd asked him, what was the biggest thing that the Cubs need to go out and do? And he said they need to go out and get a young, controllable arm. Now, Quintana is pushing 30. He's not young, but he's seemingly in his prime.
He's not old.
He's not young. He's not old. He's seemingly in his prime, and he's under control for the next three seasons under, like you said, Kyle, a very controllable contract. Is this what you have to give up to get in? Quintana's not an ace. He's not a number one. He's a number two on a good team. He's a number three on a really good team. Is this what you have to give up in order to get a young, controllable? Is this what the market asked for? Is this going to set the market for not only this year at the trade deadline? Garrett Cole's still out there. You brought up Chris Archer. You didn't bring up Sonny Gray of the Oakland Athletics. Is this going to set the market?
Well, I think we'll talk to Ed Creech about that a little bit later, but I'm interested to see that as well because, frankly, I don't really know. This is two and a half weeks in front of the deadline, and it might be early enough that teams kind of look at this package and they say, well, you know, it was properly timed. It was what was on the table at that time. The White Sox wanted to make a deal. But it seems like an awful lot for a guy who's not necessarily the absolute best pitcher on the market. And so you might see some, you could either see some really astronomical packages that are even bigger for better pitchers, or you could see more similar packages for pitchers who also aren't necessarily top tier.
319-366-1600. We were going to chat about the Chicago Cubs yesterday, and it's kind of funny. If you missed the show yesterday, you can check it out on podcasts at kgymradio.com. We had Luke Voit scheduled for 4:30 yesterday. Luke Voit, the new first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. And we were going to talk about the Chicago Cubs at 5:30. And Luke had to push his spot back, so he got moved to 5:30. So we didn't get to talk about the Chicago Cubs. So let's do that right now. They're 43-45 at the All-Star break. One of the more underperforming teams in Major League Baseball.
Have to be the most underperforming.
The most underperforming team in Major League Baseball. Does this change the way that you, not necessarily look at this season, but does this change your outlook on the rest of the season?
Very much so, yeah. Because my question as we were kind of building up to the deadline here was going to be, has this Cubs team this year so far shown enough to the front office that inspires them, it makes them think that they are close enough that they should go out and make a deal because the Cubs could repeat this year? And, I mean, this trade kind of works on two different levels because it is a short-term thing saying we can still win this year, but it's also a long-term thing because he's so controlled, like you said. But as far as this season goes, this is the signal where it says, hey, we're still going for this year. We needed pitching help. We went and got pitching help. We're still waiting on a lineup to, you know, the Cubs are still waiting on a lineup to get going, get rolling. And if they can do that, like, I'm not also not the first person to point this out, they're 10 good games away from, you know, leading the division and being right back where they expected to be at this time. And yeah, so this definitely inspires a lot of hope for me for the second half of the year.
The NL Central right now it's mediocre. And right now, the Milwaukee Brewers are playing the best baseball of anybody. And I think a lot of people are sitting here and saying two things. When is the other shoe going to drop on the Milwaukee Brewers? And when are the Cubs going to take off? And neither of those things has happened yet. And I think that a lot of people expected both of those things to have happened by now. And we'll get into this with Ed Creech. And I know that a lot of Brewers fans were texting in during the gym class, and we want to hear from you. 319-366-1600. the Brewers have done such a phenomenal job this season getting back into a contention. 8 games over .500 at the All-Star break. I don't think anybody would have expected that. But let's not forget the fact that they're also in the middle of a rebuild. And they don't want to mortgage the future going for it this year. You wouldn't think. They made a small move today, bringing in some left-handed relief help. We talked to Ed Creech, and we'll talk to him again today. He's a Brewers fan, so he'll kind of have a better answer for this. They're in a position right now where you're at the All-Star break 5.5 games up. You see the Cubs, who are a sleeping giant at this point. You're in the middle of a rebuild. The Cubs add one of the top pitchers on the trading block. What do you do?
That's got to be frustrating, especially it's going to be frustrating for that entire organization and their fan base soon, because as you've just outlined, the Brewers are in the lead, but at the same time, realistically, everybody knows they're not really, you know, a playoff contender, and if they make it to the playoffs, they're not a World Series contender. And so let's say that, you know, they're still, you know, maybe even 2 games up at the deadline, but the Cubs have gotten hot and are looking better. The Brewers are going to find themselves in a position where they could be a first-place team deciding to sell at the deadline. And that is really hard to sell to a fan base.
It really is. And we talked about that possibility with the Minnesota Twins. The Minnesota Twins right now, they had also a very good first half. But I'm not going to say they're not in contention. They're just 2.5 games out of first place in the AL Central. But the Cleveland Indians are getting hot. And I think that the decision for the Twins is going to be pretty easy. If you have somebody that is garnering interest, like an Irvin Santana, you trade him if the price is right for the Minnesota Twins. But for the Brewers, the answer is not as easy. 0006. Brewers fan here. None of this matters. Neither of these teams are going anywhere this year. The Chicago Cubs are, I don't think anybody coming into the year would not have acknowledged that on paper they were the best team in baseball. They were the odds-on favorite. And whether you say that a lot of people would bet on them because they're a public team, regardless, they had won the World Series, and besides David Ross and Dexter Fowler, they pretty much brought back all of their key players. And I look at them at the All-Star break, and no knock on the Milwaukee Brewers. As I said, a fantastic first half, defying what everybody thought about them. This team should be, there's no reason that this team should not be winning this division. The St. Louis Cardinals have been very up and down, and that's putting it nicely. And then Pittsburgh, they're probably close to selling at the trade deadline, and we know what we get. We know what we see from the Cincinnati Reds. But the Cubs should be winning this division. But I'm just looking at this, and I'm saying they have had underperformance 1 through 5 in the rotation, and 1 through 9 in the lineup.
Yep.
Will one pitcher? You got to hope not only does he pitch well, but he injects a little bit of life in this team, which is something that it just seems like all year Joe Maddon has been looking to get out of his team. They've shown very few signs of life.
Well, and that's one thing that more than anything else, really, I'm kind of hoping that Quintana will serve as kind of a influx of. We had a texter say that the Cubs are counting on his energy to come in and be infectious in that bullpen. He made a joke about Maddon saying the Cubs were still tired early in the year and all that. He suggested maybe a daily nap for the team. I don't know if they'll do that.
Some caffeine, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
A little Red Bull. That's a non-endorsement. Continue.
But yeah, I remember the pitching staff last year for the Cubs was surprising. Arrieta and Lester were expected to be good. But Hendricks came out, he looked like, you know, he was right there with them as a Cy Young candidate, and Jason Hamill had a great year as far as fourth starters go. I don't have his numbers right in front of me, but I'd be willing to bet that was a career year for him. And I remember one of the conversations around that was that Hendricks, Hamill, even a veteran, John Lackey.
Jason Hamill, 15-10, 3.83 ERA. Sorry, continue.
Great.
Very good year.
Great year for a fourth pitcher. But one of the discussions that I remember hearing on multiple occasions last year between Len Casper was they talked about how competitive that pitching rotation was. And Arrieta, as competitive as he is, Lester would start in game one. Arrieta sees how well he does, and he has to one-up that. And that crept all the way down the rotation into you having four and a half really good starters for all last year. And we just haven't seen that same sort of dynamic this year. And hopefully Jose Quintana will bring some of that.
The other question that this brings up, two questions actually. There have been a lot of Cubs fans very down on John Lackey, and for good reason. He has been underwhelming in the first half, 5-9, 5.20 ERA. He gives up runs in bunches early in games.
Oh my God.
And it's frustrating for a lot of Cubs fans. My question is, what happens to him? The other question is with Jake Arrieta. Okay, in case you didn't know, Jake Arrieta is a free agent after this year. And he has been asking for a, let's just say, a rather large, long-term contract.
He wanted to be paid like a young ace starter.
He wanted to be paid like a young ace starter, and he's having the worst year since he's come to the Chicago Cubs. And will he change his mind on that? And what does this, and I'll ask Ed Creech this too, and I'll ask you this before we have to take a break and come back for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. How much leverage is Jose Quintana for the Cubs in regards to the bidding war that's going to take place between them and Jake Arrieta this offseason?
Well, and I hadn't necessarily even thought about this aspect of this whole deal until you brought it up just maybe an hour ago or so. But yeah, Arrieta has been asking for a mega deal as if he's a 25-year-old pitcher who's been great for 4 years now and is going to continue to be great. That's the kind of deal that he wanted, and the Cubs were, you know, they're trying to pay him as a number two because that's what he is for them. And so there's going to be a little bit of resistance there, and they're going to be butting heads. But now the Cubs can look at Arrieta and say, listen, we have a number two, and he's younger than you. He's possibly better than you. We're not really concerned about bending to whatever you want. Other teams still aren't going to give him a lot of money if he continues to have the kind of year that he is this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Cubs are willing to give him slightly more than everyone else, but they're not in a position now where they have to bend and do whatever he wants.
They don't have to give him a 6-year deal worth $20+ million a year. That's I think what you're getting at here. And the other question that I want you, the listener, to answer. There's going to be one less spot in the rotation now. So you would think conventional wisdom would say either Eddie Butler or John Lackey will be out of the rotation. Which would you rather see stay in the rotation? 319-366-1600. Cubs fans, we want to hear from you on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line or give us a call. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Kyle will give you the first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day, and then we'll hit a bottom of the hour Sports Center update. And we're going to come back and we're going to discuss this a little bit more, and probably from the White Sox angle, because they are all of a sudden stockpiling talent in the farm system.
Incredible.
And look like they could have quite the team in 2020. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Todd's out today. Kyle Mann's along with me after this.
More coffee?
Thanks, Jenna. So, my big $10 breakfast here is on MediaCom because I ordered their new Extreme 100 Bronze package on sale for just $69.98 a month for 1 year, which includes an extra $10 off a month to spend any way I want. What does MediaCom's Extreme 100 Bronze have, Janet?
It's got digital TV with over 125 video and music channels, 14,000 free on-demand titles, TiVo service, internet up to 100 meg, including the fastest in-home Wi-Fi, and unlimited nationwide calling.
It's all-in-one technology, or TV and internet that really work together.
So, you out there, why don't you order?
Yeah, call 1-800-SIMPLIFY to get Mediacom's new Extreme packages starting as low as $69.98 a month for a year. Call 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details.
Limited time offer available to qualified new Mediacom customers only. Price does not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and local broadcast station surcharge. Usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas. Call Mediacom for more details.
Business is all about having the right connections. And with American Airlines' nonstop flight to Charlotte, North Carolina, from the Eastern Iowa Airport, you have more than 600. Whether you need to get to a meeting in Washington, D.C., or a conference in Paris, flying nonstop to American Airlines' second largest hub will get you there. And with two daily flights, you'll get there and back when you need to. Connect for business at the Eastern Iowa Airport. More seats, more flights, more options. Book tickets now at flycid.com.
427, Studio A on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, KGYM Radio. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann. We're talking a little bit about the trade in Chicago that rocked the city of Chicago today. Jose Quintana going from the Southsiders to the Northsiders in return for Dylan Cease, a top pitching prospect to the Chicago Cubs, and Eloy Jimenez, the top prospect, period, in the Cubs system. We're going to continue talking about this trade. A little bit from the White Sox angle, from the NL Central angle. We want to hear from you, 319-366-1600. We're going to hit a bottom of the hour Sports Center update momentarily. But first, it's time for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one. Kyle?
We've got more preseason watch list news today, beginning with Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell being named to the Bronco Nagurski Trophy watch list. That list was announced today by the Football Writers Association of America and will go to the nation's most outstanding defensive player. This comes just a few days after Jewell was named to the Chuck Bednarik watch list. The Football Writers Association also named Hawkeye linemen Sean Welsh and James Daniels to the Outland Trophy Award watch list, which goes to the nation's most outstanding interior linemen. This, too, comes just days after Daniels was named to the Remington Trophy watch list. The Big 12 released its preseason media poll today, and the Cyclones were picked to finish 9th in the 10-team league, ahead of only Kansas. Oklahoma was pegged to win the title. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson is competing in the John Deere Classic at TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois this weekend, and he finds himself tied for second with Rory Sabatini and Patrick Rogers after the first round, all coming in 6 under par and trailing Charles Howell III by 2 strokes. The Colonels lost 2-0 last night at the hands of the West Michigan Whitecaps and will try to avoid being shut out for a third consecutive game tonight. It'll be lefty Evan Sanders on the hill for the Colonels facing the 7-4 Alfred Gutierrez for Western Michigan in West Michigan. That game should get started at 6, and I'll keep you updated as it moves along.
A couple things, in case you missed it at the outset of the show. Happy birthday to Thomas Brommelkamp. That would be Todd's son, his first birthday. I know it's been a long year for that family, and it is just so great to see him happy and healthy and celebrating his first year of life. That's why Todd's out today. And celebrating Tommy's birthday. Also, you mentioned the watch lists, and I don't like to do this. I really don't like to do this, talking about myself and my family, but congratulations to somebody else who was on that Outland Trophy watch list.
Who's that?
A guy who is, we talk about quite a bit on KGYM Radio. That would be Kuhn's brother, Gabe Kuhn, on the Outland Trophy watch list, recognized as one of the top 16 offensive guards in college football for a guy that was the last recruit taken on a Memphis team that was 3-9 5 years ago. He's done so many great things at that university, and the recognition continues to come in. So congratulations to him. We're going to continue with this Cubs and White Sox discussion. In case you missed it, Jose Quintana is a Chicago Cub. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Or did both teams win the trade? That's actually our Emil's Hideaway poll question. You can vote online at kgymradio.com. We're going to hit a bottom of the hour Sports Center update, and it's brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 12 years of service. More of KGYM Radio on the way after this.
At Hawkeye Title and Settlement, if we had our way, every house, every store, pretty much every building would be painted black and gold. But alas, ours is not a perfect world. Hi, this is Steve Anderson, and our Hawkeye-loving staff has accepted that fact. So, no matter what color residential or commercial property you're selling or buying, we're here when you need efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Sorry, black and gold paint sold separately. Hawkeye Title and Settlement of Iowa City. You'll love our team just like you love the Hawks.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. For the first time since 2009, Venus Williams will play in the Wimbledon final. At 37, she could become the oldest women's Grand Slam champion in the Open era. Williams will play Garbiñe Muguruza in the final. Both women recorded straight set wins today. The ladies' final is Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. The gentlemen's final is on Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern. For the first time in 11 years, the Cubs and White Sox make a trade with each other. The Cubs pick up lefty starter Jose Quintana. In return, the White Sox get four minor league players, including the Cubs' top everyday prospect, outfielder Eloy Jimenez, and their top pitching prospect, Dylan Cease. The Spurs are working on a new deal for guard Jonathan Simmons. He's a restricted free agent who played well for the Spurs in the playoffs. At ACC Media Day today, Florida State coach Jimbo Fisher says he thinks the ACC is the premier conference in college football. Clemson is the defending champ, and ACC teams went 9-3 in bowl games.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
The Ford Summer Sales Event is in full swing. Get 0% financing for 72 months plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on vehicles like Ford Fusion, Escape, Mustang, and Explorer. Offer ends July 31st. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand, and save big across a full lineup of Ford vehicles. Get 0% financing for 72 months plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry into the summer sales event going on now only at your Ford dealer. Best selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. Not available on Mustang Shelby GT350, GT350R. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by July 31st, 2017.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, manage your candidates from one dashboard. According to an independent study, 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. New users claim your $50 credit to post a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Calloused fingers, scraped knuckles. These are signs of hard work, struggle, and victory. The same is true with your engine, but the signs are harder to see. That's why there's Valvoline MaxLife. After 75,000 miles, use Valvoline MaxLife to treat the hidden signs of aging and help maximize the life of your engine. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. For DIY tips, hot rides, cool merch, and exclusive content, head over to TeamValvoline.com. Join for free today.
4:34 on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, Studio A. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann as we continue on this Thursday, July the 13th, where breaking news, it's not breaking news anymore. I'm not going to act like I'm one of the cable news networks that were breaking news that happened 8 hours ago.
It's a little dented.
Breaking news. News out of Chicago today, one of the first big dominoes before the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Jose Quintana of the Chicago White Sox traded across town to the Chicago Cubs for a return of four prospects, including two of the Chicago Cubs' top prospects. 319-366-1600, that's our text line and the phone line. And let's go to the phone line. Mike in Cedar Rapids is a Chicago White Sox fan, and he wants to talk about the trade. Mike, go ahead.
I think it's a little bit overrated from both sides because I've seen Quintana pitch most of his games this year, and he's not the same. He has a tendency to get him the lead, and he's not a shutdown pitcher like Sale or some of the guys are to give him a lead, the game's over. It's not been that way with Quintana. And I think from the White Sox standpoint, you know, they got four prospects, but none of those guys are going to hit or pitch a ball at guaranteed rate fields for at least 2 years. So to me, it sounds like much ado over nothing.
All right, Mike, thanks for the phone call. And this is interesting because when I hear that it's overrated on both sides, doesn't that kind of mean that it's right where it should be?
A little bit.
And for Chicago White Sox fan, I'm interested to hear from you, 319-366-1600. Because this is a franchise that up until, what was the first domino to fall last year? It was Chris Sale. Chris Sale and the, they traded Adam Eaton over the summer. They traded Chris Sale, I believe, before Adam Eaton.
Yeah.
And they got a big time haul from the Boston Red Sox. And then they got a pretty pretty big time haul from the Washington Nationals for Adam Eaton, who tore his ACL and hasn't played this year.
That was the surprise one.
That was the surprise one. And Mike is absolutely right. Jose Quintana is not Chris Sale. And I don't think that anybody is saying he is. The question becomes, what is Jose Quintana worth? He's a number two starter, possibly a number three on a really good team, which he'll be the number three starter. Number two or number three starter on the Chicago Cubs moving forward, depending on what happens with Jake Arrieta. What is the market for a controllable arm under a very favorable contract? And you just saw what it's worth. Adam Eaton, who was I'll say an above average right fielder, a good player, was traded for Washington Nationals, two of their top prospects, and Reynaldo Lopez and Lucas Giolito. And I thought, wow, that's a lot. But I feel like people always have this skyrocketing opinion of what a prospect is worth, of what a prospect is going to be. And Todd talked about this the other day. Apparently somebody was saying that Cubs fans hyped up Kyle Schwarber a little bit too much. And you know what? It's possible. I think it's possible.
Okay, maybe. I think maybe it's possible. We did that a little bit.
But he brought up the point that everybody hypes up prospects. Everybody overhypes prospects, and people don't actually get to see what these guys look like until they hit the major leagues. And I would say, even then, it's a 50-50 proposition as to whether these guys are going to hit. So when you're trading a proven commodity, you're going to have to... trading for a proven commodity, you're going to have to give up at least two prospects, two upper echelon prospects, because chances are one of those is going to hit, and averages say that one of those is not going to hit. And the Cubs are kind of, I'm not going to say they're seeing it now, they had all those prospects for years. And now, for the most part, after the Gleyber Torres trade last year, he's with the Yankees. And now with Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease gone, we have seen what all of those prospects have looked like in the major leagues. We've seen what Ian Happ looks like. We've seen what Kyle Schwarber looks like. I am not even close to saying that we've seen the finished product, but we've seen those guys in the major leagues. So some of those guys hit, and some of those guys didn't. For the Chicago White Sox, they just got a haul of four prospects, including two big-time prospects.
Two good ones.
Two really good ones. Now they have Eloy Jimenez, who we saw here in Cedar Rapids last year. Outstanding. Will he hit? Will he be a miss? I don't know. But they have Yoan Moncada, who people are really high on. Another position player in the minor leagues who is as close to major league ready as any prospect in the minor leagues. And then they just got this kid out of Cuba by the name of Luis Robert, who people are really high on. So between the three of them, the law of averages says that at least one of them is going to hit. And then you look at the pitching prospects that they have racked up. Michael Kopech throws 100 miles an hour. He's in Double-A. Lucas Giolito has been a little bit up and down. I mentioned Reynaldo Lopez. And then they drafted Zach Collins, a catcher. They have enough guys, enough top prospects, to where you would assume that in 2020, these guys will be in the major leagues, and at least a few of them, and if 3 out of 10 of them hit, the White Sox have something.
Right, and as a Cubs fan who just basically went through this same process that the Sox are trying to go through now with their prospects, it is a little bit of a crapshoot. They don't all hit, But once you kind of getting into this, these guys, the majority of these guys that you just named are all in the top 30 of MLB, Baseball America, the various prospect rankings. And once you get up to that high, you get a pretty successful hit rate. And so if I'm the White Sox, wow, I'm feeling they've got three of the top 11 prospects currently and nine of the top 100. They have almost 10% of the top 100 prospects.
And for the White Sox fans who just saw their team sign Todd Frazier and sign Adam Dunn and sign several free agents who completely missed, at least what I'm seeing is them go a different direction, trying to tear down and rebuild with young players. And I always say this, if you try to do the same thing, the definition of insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over again. The White Sox have gone a different direction. Will it pay off? We'll find out in about 3 to 4 years. 319-366-1600. That was a little bit of a Freudian slip because Sonny in Iowa City is joining us on the phone line to talk about the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox trade. Sonny, how are you on this Thursday afternoon? And go ahead.
I'm doing well. I think that this is actually a fairly even trade, and it sort of comes back to my hatred of high school recruiting and college football.
I'm with you there.
You have the average viewer, the average follower of football and baseball perpetually overhypes the prospect. The prospect it's exciting, it's new, it's unproven, and you just assume that they're all going to hit. You know, when you have a four-star or a five-star coming out of high school, you assume that they're going to be the next Von Dane or something like that. And the reality is that a proven player, even a proven average player, is proven. And that comes, I mean, that is hard to get. There's so much that can happen over the period of time that it takes to develop a player into anything. I mean, just freak accidents alone will ruin a certain percentage of players' careers. So I think that this is actually pretty even. The White Sox, the only downside with doing what these teams did is that if you completely deplete your prospect market, then you have to depend on going out and getting big free agents. And if you miss on a big free agent, that is not the same as missing on a prospect. That will set you back like a decade sometimes.
Sonny, thank you so much for the phone call. And let's test his theory right now. Let's do a little bit of an exercise here.
Okay.
With the Chicago Cubs, the team that you know very well. And during this rebuild, the Chicago Cubs in the minor leagues had several prospects that people were very high on. And let's go through their major league roster right now and look to see which ones hit, which ones missed. And there's the third option. Believe it or not, there's a third option.
There never is.
There is a third option, and it's...
I'm skeptical.
They're up and down. They're solid, average Major League Baseball players.
You mean I may not have to form a hard opinion one way or the other yet?
Well, exactly. Like Jason Hayward, when he... Jason Hayward, when he... I'm not even going to use him. He's not an example as a Cubs prospect, but you remember the hype when he came up at age 20 in the Atlanta Braves organization?
Sure.
People were comparing him to Hank Aaron, and he's become a very good fielder. And about an average Major League Baseball hitter. And so a lot of people will look at his career as a disappointment, and I don't see how you can do that. I don't think it's a disappointment. I don't think it's a huge success where he hit and he lived up to his hype. Somewhere in the middle. Wilson Contreras.
Well,
the book is still out on him, but we've seen some good. We've seen some bad. Javier Baez.
Good
pretty
and
much,
bad.
Pretty much in the same category. Chris Bryant, a resounding hit. No question about that. The book's still out on Ian Happ. Addison Russell.
I would say the book's still out on him for the most part. He's a great defender, put up some really gaudy numbers last year, but he still doesn't really hit for average, and the power isn't there this year. So
some good, some bad.
Yeah, he's in a valley right now.
Albert Almora. I think of all the guys... He was a first-round draft pick in 2012. He's the guy where you look and you say, well, we had him listed as a top prospect. Well, no one really saw him, but those who watched him play, he's about what we thought he was going to be.
He might be the most, in terms of the way he came up as a prospect and the way his career has progressed so far, he might be the most average case that you'll see for a young player. He came up, had a decent amount of hype, maybe not as much as a Chris Bryant, but had a lot of attention and people thinking he'd be pretty good. He gets up and he's been decent, but he's not blowing anyone away. But at the same time, you know that you would disagree if they took him off the roster. And so he's just turned into a serviceable player.
And finally, Kyle Schwarber. Some good, some bad. So I think that people get this idea because it's the unproven player. It's the prospect that all of these guys are going to come up and they're going to be superstars. That's not the case. That's not the case with any team. That's not the case with the Cubs. That's not the case with the Cardinals a couple of years ago. Unless you're the Houston Astros, where everybody comes up and is a superstar this year, and that's why they're the best team in baseball.
But what the Astros are having happen right now, isn't that the Cubs, if we had done the same exercise last year, we're saying every single prospect for the Cubs hit. It's a year-to-year thing.
Not necessarily. It is a year-to-year thing. It absolutely is. I still would have said that the book is... We wouldn't have said that Javier Baez had reached his potential until the playoffs.
Yeah, in the playoffs, we would have.
And you can say exactly the same thing for Kyle Schwarber. And I think this proves that it's an at-bat-to-at-bat situation, and
right.
People tend to overreact. But Addison Russell, I don't think we thought that he was playing. He had a good year. We thought there's more in the tank. There very well could be. And I think for some of these other prospects, it's the same thing. But this is the tail of the tape for the Chicago White Sox. In 2020, they now have what it takes to field a team that can get people excited. And by signing Todd Frazier, and by signing Adam Dunn, and by signing all of these old, former... They weren't even... Todd Frazier was a good player for a couple of years. He was an all-star, and then he tailed off in the second half. Adam Dunn was always a big-time home run, strikeout guy. He never hit for a high average. You knew kind of what you were going to get from those guys, and quite honestly, you got less from those guys than you expected. That didn't work. They're going another route, and I think now, and they're not done, first of all, but now their farm system is probably the best in baseball after having years and years of nothing in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm. We just got a text from 3531. I haven't even read the whole thing yet, but he makes a point that a guy like Eloy's the prospect that everybody looks at in this trade and says, well, would have been great if the Cubs could have held on to him. But as he points out, Eloy hasn't even made it to Double-A yet. And he says, while the power is breathtaking, he's not hitting for average against A-ball pitching. So he's got a lot. He was the 12th or 8th best prospect in baseball, depending where you look. But he's several years away. There's a lot of time for things to go wrong.
There is. And here's another example. This would have been the 2012 draft. Who was taken number one? The answer is Carlos Correa. And we know what's happened with him in a Houston Astros uniform. He's hit. There's no question about it. He's one of the bright young stars in baseball. Who was the number two pick? Byron Buxton. I wasn't looking for an answer there. I was just saying Byron Buxton was the number two pick, and there was a lot of question as to who was going to be the number one pick that year. A lot of people thought it should have been Byron Buxton. And Byron Buxton is a talented player, and he still has time to develop, and I'm not at all, not even close to being ready to give up on him because I think he plays great defense, and I think that there's such thing as a late bloomer. But those two were neck and neck as far as how they were projected. Carlos Correa gets the nod at number one, mostly because the Houston Astros wanted to save some money so they could go back in the first round and draft Lance McCullers. And it worked out pretty well for the Houston Astros. And that's just that's how much of a crapshoot it is with prospects and the draft. 450 on KGYM. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll get you a big board update. And then at the top of hour number two, Will Raggetts of SB Nation and InsideNU.com is going to join us on our countdown to kickoff brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. He's going to preview Pat Fitzgerald's Northwestern Wildcats. Back with more after this.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier baseball team closed out their regular season play this week, going 2-1 for the week. The Saints ended their conference campaign by sweeping Linmar on Monday, 5-4 and 12-7. Bryce Schulte had the game-winning hit in the first contest and went 3-for-3 with 3 RBIs in Game 2. Garrett Reese had a home run and 4 RBIs in the nightcap. The Saints open Class 3A district play tomorrow night against Centerpoint Urbana at 5 p.m. at Marion. The Xavier softball team had their season come to an end on Tuesday night as they fell to 8th-rated Mount Pleasant 7-3 in a Class 4A regional final. Hannah Helms had a 2-run double to lead the Saints. Xavier ends the season with a 23-18 mark.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimber Company. Family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimber Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertine & Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City. Stop into 101 South Dubuque Street and wish the Dickens family congratulations on 70 years in business. The Cubs didn't have to look far to find a trade partner, and the biggest pre-deadline deal of the season went down today. Theo Epstein packaged 4 prospects and shipped them south on the red line to Rick Hahn and the White Sox for lefty Jose Quintana. It was a bold move made by a team mired around the 500 mark, but one that has long-term effects. The 28-year-old Quintana is under contract through 2020, meaning he'll be a part of the team's rotation in the years to come. This is not a rental, and as such, the price was steep. The Cubs surrendered top prospect Eloy Jimenez, top pitching prospect Dylan Cease, and organizational players Matt Rose and Bryant Flaté. Quintana has a 50-54 record and a 3.51 ERA across his career. Quintana joins the Cubs in Baltimore as they get ready to open Major League Baseball's second half tomorrow against the Orioles.
You heard it there, 4:52. In case you're just joining us, we've been talking for about 50 minutes about the trade that took place in Chicago between the two Major League Baseball organizations in the city, Jose Quintana to the Cubs, and the Cubs returned 4 prospects in return for the services of the 30-year-old lefty. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann. You heard Todd's voice there. He is out today celebrating his son's first birthday. Happy birthday to Tommy Brommelkamp. We're going to get to a Midwest One Bank Big Board update with Kyle Mann now. Midwest One, where you're the one.
We've got more preseason watch list news today, beginning with Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell being named to the Bronco Nagurski Trophy watch list. That list was announced today by the Football Writers Association of America and will go to the nation's most outstanding defensive player. This comes just a few days after Jewell was named to the Chuck Bednarik watch list. The Writers Association also named Hawkeye linemen Sean Welsh and James Daniels to the Outland Trophy Award watch list, which goes to the nation's most outstanding interior linemen. This, too, comes just days after Daniels was also named to the Remington Trophy watch list. The Big 12 released its preseason media poll today, and the Cyclones were picked to finish 9th in the 10-team league, ahead of only Kansas. Oklahoma was pegged to win the title. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson is competing in the John Deere Classic at TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois this weekend, and he finds himself tied for second with Rory Sabatini and Patrick Rogers after the first round, all coming in 6 under par and trailing Charles Howell III by 2 strokes. The Colonels lost 2-0 last night at the hands of the West Michigan Whitecaps and will try to avoid being shut out for a third consecutive game tonight. It'll be lefty Evan Sanders on the hill for the Colonels, facing the 7-4 Alfred Gutierrez for West Michigan. That game should get started at 6, and I will personally keep you updated with that game as it moves along.
Well, thank you for personally keeping us updated, because you'll have 2 big board updates in the 6 o'clock hour where you will the game will have started, and you'll have to give us updates. I failed to do something.
Oh.
I failed to mention that we have a gift for eventually a caller number 6. We've been giving out a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Grill all week. And it is good to any of their 3 locations, the Fountains off Edgewood, downtown Cedar Rapids, and Lincoln View Square in Marion. And since I forgot to mention that we had it, I'm going to give it away right now.
Whoa.
Caller number 6, 319-366-1600. You're going to win a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Grill, Mexican restaurant, and any of their 3 locations. Alex Kuhn alongside Kyle Mann. Jeff Downing, our associate producer here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. July the 13th, where I was wondering what I was going to lead the show with at about 8 o'clock. And at about 10:30, it became very apparent what we were going to lead the show with. Jose Quintana, now a member of the Chicago Cubs. It is the subject of our poll question, our Enimals Hideaway poll question, and it goes like this. Who won the White Sox-Cubs trade? Was it the Cubs? Was it the Sox? There's a third option. It's both teams. So there's no option of neither team, which we've heard a little bit of. The option is both teams. And through about 50 minutes of airtime here and an hour and 50 minutes of local programming, we'll get you the results of what we see in just a second. We'll get you the winner as well. Right now, I'm trying to pull this up. I believe the leader right now, it's tied.
A straight tie?
And it's not, let's just say the answer is not both teams. The Cubs, 50% for the White Sox, 50% for the Cubs. It is tied. You still have about 2 hours to participate in our Emil's Hideaway poll question.
So we have an exact tie with half the people saying the Cubs, half the people saying the White Sox, and the only answer that people don't like is both teams.
Correct.
But an equal
but
number of people.
But that's the answer that we like.
That's true.
So that just shows how much people disagree with us, right?
I think so.
See, you're wearing your Cubs shirt today, is that a sign that you're happy with the trade, or am I reading too much into this?
Well, I really liked Eloy Jimenez, and I was excited for him, but I've realized a few things as the day has gone on. Firstly being, if Bryce Harper is going to play for the Cubs, we don't have room for Eloy anyway. But then, I mean, it sank in a little bit more throughout the day that we weren't going to see Dylan Cease or Eloy for 2 or 3 years anyway. We picked up a really good pitcher without giving up a single player from our World Series team last year. So at the end of the day, we got exactly what we needed without giving up anything that was actually that important.
We're going to get to our countdown to kickoff. We have two installments today catching up on what we missed on Friday. What we missed on Friday was Will Raggetts of InsideNU.com. He's going to preview the Northwestern Wildcats and Pat Fitzgerald's team. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
The Ford Summer Sales Event is in full swing. It's your chance to get a Ford F-150 for 0% financing for 60 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on the award-winning built Ford Top F-150. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand. And save big on the Ford F-150. Get 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry into the summer sales event, going on now only at your Ford dealer. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 60 months at $1,667 per month per $1,000 financed regardless of down payment. Trade-assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle, or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. Not available on Raptor. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by July 31st.